Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, I guess we can say Happy New Year. It's a few days early, but we can still say Happy New Year. And based on the Christmas program that we had here last Sunday and everything, it has just been it's really been a blessed time to be here, and it's just been good. It's been wonderful. Let's ask God to guide us. I need it today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church, dear Lord, most of all. We thank you for all the people that are here. We just can't thank you and glorify you enough, dear Lord, for all the good that you do to us or do for us, and for all the ways that we depend on you. We depend on you so much, Lord, to take care of us. And we know that you will, because your word tells us that you will. We ask you to guide us, direct us as we go through this lesson, dear Lord. May everything that we say and do here be to your glory and to build up your kingdom, dear Lord, and most of all, to touch our hearts and bring others closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, the name of the lesson today is, or the title of the lesson is? Well, mic drop. That's the end of the story, right? There is no one like God. Mic drop. We are studying, we're still in the book of Isaiah, and this is the last portion of Isaiah, and he changes his tune. The first 39 books is about their captivity. They're going to be taken to Assyria, and it's a lot of prophecy about, we could almost call it doom and gloom, okay? Well, he's changing here, and from the 40th chapter on through, and he's getting a little more optimistic, trying to get people to understand, no matter how bad you think it is, God has the plan. God is in control. And we have to, let go and let God. That's the hardest thing that we do, I think, that we have to do in this life, is to let go and let God have his way. We fight that because of what? Give me one reason that we would not want God to have control of our life. Just one.
Just one.
Just one.
Is there one?
Oh, yeah, there's one. There's everybody can find an excuse, but are there any real reasons?
Because we lose control.
Well, yeah. We don't want to cede control to anyone, do we? Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing. Does God cede control to anybody? No. He's the one, he's the man with a plan. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the better off we'll be and the more contented we will be. It's a struggle sometimes when you know you're doing something that if God was standing right there beside of you, you wouldn't be doing it. Well, mic drop, God is standing right there beside of you. And sometimes we forget to acknowledge that he is there. And acknowledgement is one of the first signs of maturity. You know, nobody got to know what they knew when they were born. The only one that knew everything was God. So if we just focus on that, we're way off. We're way ahead of the game. No one is like God. So like I said, Isaiah is going to tell the people here, one, how much they have to be thankful for, and two, what they have to look forward to. You know, life is so much better, look at you two, when you have something to look forward to. I mean, you're engaged, now you're looking forward to a wedding, a marriage, the bringing of two families together. That is something to look forward to. And God's right there with you. He's right there with you. He is with you in this journey that we call life. But we need to always remember to acknowledge that he's there. Don't ever forget that. It's not that he's going to bring hell down on you if you don't, but life is so much easier when you do. And sometimes it's hard to see God when things are going bad, right? One of the first things that comes to my mind when I think that people forget that God is there is when someone's sick. Mrs. Pratt, that passed away, she was in the hospital for 7 weeks. Ups, downs, ups, downs. That was quite a roller coaster ride for her family, I'll say. But we all know from, I just know from the way the interaction that her kids had with her and from the obituary that I read, she's with Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that that woman is in heaven celebrating today. The hard part is those that are left behind, what we have to deal with, but you're not the first one that lost a parent, and you're not going to be the last one that loses a parent. Life goes on, and God is telling us that as long as you look to me and depend on me, I will get you through. There's no doubt about that. I will get you through. Okay, enough of my ranting. The lesson is in three sections today: the introduction, the God of creation, and the God of hope. And we know a lot about the God of creation because that was our first lesson in this, in our last quarter. We studied about creation and how God made creation from what? From what? From nothing.
From nothing.
There was nothing. It says, in the beginning, the world was without void and without form. He made this from nothing. And if he can make this from nothing, just imagine what he can do for us. Because we are beautifully and wonderfully made. That's why I said, all these birthdays, I see a lot of year-end tax deductions, and that had to make some parents very happy. Very happy to think that you were getting that kind of a gift at the end of the year. All right, if somebody would just read the first verse, Isaiah 40, verse 21.
Have ye not known?
Okay, when somebody comes up to you and says, have you not heard? What do you think? You're going to get some little juicy tidbit, aren't you? Something that you didn't know. Have you not heard? Did you not know? Well, that's not exactly what I'd say is saying here. He says, have you not known and have ye not heard? The whole Bible, all of creation, is before this, before Isaiah. So he's wanting people to reflect back on what God has, just exactly what God has done. God is our source of hope. Without hope, it is very hard to carry on, isn't it? Why, if you say you have one hope right now, what would it be? What would be your one hope?
You're going to heaven.
Okay, that's a good one, Judy. That's a good one. Okay, what would be another hope?
I hope it doesn't snow anymore.
Okay, see, Kayla drives to work every day, so she really hopes that it doesn't snow. So we all have that thing that's important to us, okay, that matters to us, that we hope for. Me, I hope I don't get sick. I mean, I'm pretty healthy now, but who knows, you know, it can, at the drop of a hat, it can change. Mrs. Barnes and the automobile accident, those are things that you don't plan for, but they happen. So we hope and pray that she recovers from that, but it sounds like she also may have a little thing, I'm not going to say mental, but a little emotional thing, that she's a hurdle that she's going to have to overcome too. So don't forget to pray for that, that she's able to deal with this having had a prior accident. But we all have something that we're hoping for. And what Judy said is probably the main thing. We're hoping for eternal life. Well, you've been to church long enough and you've studied the Bible long enough that you know what you have to do to get eternal life, right? And what is that?
Accept that Jesus Christ.
Receive your salvation. Mm-hmm. You have to be saved in order to go to heaven, in order to spend eternity with God. And Isaiah wants us to be attentive. He says, you have known this from the beginning, and you've known it from the foundations of the earth. You've known what God's plan is. And he just wants you to, well, I said this last week, be still and know that I am God. And Susie told me that was in Psalms 46:10, I think, because I'm good at saying stuff, yeah, and not giving the citing the chapter and verse that it goes with. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. What happens when there's a lot of chaos in the world, right? I mean, there's things just going on all over the place, and we can get all caught up in that, or we can just simply say, I know, I've heard, and I know that God has a plan. That's all you have to do. And that should give you peace of mind, if nothing else. All right? Okay, so does anybody have any questions so far? All right. If somebody will read the next verse, the God of creation, that's verse 22. Okay, when you imagine someone sitting upon the circle of the earth, that tells me right though that the earth's round. But anyway, okay, I'm sure you've seen this on the news or you've seen this on TV when the astronauts go into orbit. And, of course, they've got cameras and everything all in those spaceships. But then they show their vision of the Earth. And it's like this little round blob of a thing. Okay, so the thing that came to my mind, too, was when they look down and they see this, they just see one. But the closer they get, the more defined everything is. Then you can see probably waters divided from the land. The closer you get, the clearer the picture becomes. I was thinking about Spruce Knob. It's not Spruce Knob. What's that other place that you walk up the hill? Seneca Rocks. When you get up to Seneca Rocks, I made it once. I may never make it again. But when you get up to that landing where you look out and you see the forest, you just see green. You don't see any divisions. You just see one big forest. But if you were to be down below where the forest is and you walk in, you'd start to see individual trees. The closer you get to something, the more defined it is. Well, okay, so God's sitting up here on top of the circle of the earth, and he's looking down and he sees that we are as big as grasshoppers. Yeah, well, grasshoppers is, you know, about yay. Well, there's one story in our book here. It says the largest grasshopper in the world is an Australian grasshopper. And the female can get to be 3 inches long. Now, can you imagine a 3-inch long grasshopper? Or maybe even a 3.5-inch long? I think we'd probably all run from that one. But he says he sees us and we're just like little grasshoppers. But does that mean we're any less important because we're small? No. That just means there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. And that's what he's looking at. When he stretches out the heavens, it's a curtain. We went through all through this in the creation, how he made everything that he made. And it's truly astounding. Okay. Any questions, comments? All right. Somebody read 23 and 24. Okay, princes we think of as who?
Leaders.
Leaders, yeah. And how did they get to be princes? They're born into it, aren't they? It's a birthright. Like, how many years did King Charles have to wait to be king? Because Queen Elizabeth was living forever. So he was a prince for a long, long time. And now that he's old, he finally gets to be a king. But those are things that, yeah, you're born into. And the judges are people that are appointed. And I hate to get political, but we know now that judges are making a lot of rulings that probably are outside of their purview to do, And I think they're maybe a little caught up in their vanity, right? Your own self-worth, your own importance. And I was good. I'd say princes, kings, queens, they all probably kind of do the same. Well, then he's talking about your plants, your gardens. I've been reading a lot. I read a lot of novels that are from, you know, dukes and all that. So the well-to-do in over there in England or whatever, they all have gardens. The well-to-do people do. And they take a lot of pride in their gardens, and they take walks in the gardens. And that's not something that everybody has. It's probably a level of maybe your financial back or your financial status, or the fact that you are indeed a duke or an earl. It just goes without saying that you're going to have a fabulous garden. Well, what does God say here? He says, their stock will not take root in the earth and shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. Who has control of that garden?
God.
That's what he's telling us right there. He says, even though you've got this beautiful garden, did you thank me? Did you thank me that you have this beautiful garden? That's what he's saying. Don't forget where it came from. Don't forget where it came from. Okay. All right. Any questions or comments on the God of human affairs? Okay, so somebody read 25 and 26. Okay, so whom then will ye liken me, or shall be my equal? We know of one person that has tried to be equal with God. And who is that?
Satan.
Satan. And how did Satan get here?
He got kicked out of heaven.
Well, but I mean, who made Satan?
God
created Satan, just like he created all of us. Huh? Yeah, he was an angel at first. So, yeah. So even though he was kicked out of heaven, like you said, his goal was to be equal to God. That was the whole purpose of his being. And we know that when, after Christ was baptized and went into the wilderness, Satan was there and tempted him, what, three times? The lust of the flesh, the lust of something, and Pastor Tim's told us this three times, but I can't remember. But anyway, Satan was created by God, which kind of like is a oxymoron. Why would God create something to give us so much trouble?
Because he wanted it.
Exactly. He wanted the choice to be ours, didn't he? It could just rule with an iron fist and say, okay, you will, you will, you will. But he doesn't do that. He says, I want you to love me for me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what he's telling you. That's what it's all based on, is love. And we know, too, at this time in the history, like I said, I told you last week, I think, that these prophecies of Isaiah was like 700 to 800 years before Christ was born. Okay, so we're talking the 7th or 8th century is when Isaiah made all these prophecies. And at that time, we know that there were a lot of wars. There were a lot of countries that were trying to take over Israel, trying to ruin Israel. What is probably the most modern day event to damage Israel that we can think of in the 40s? And what all was going on in World War II? The Holocaust. The Holocaust, yeah. The Holocaust. And that was all brought on by Hitler. And what was Hitler's whole goal? His goal was to ruin the Jewish people, of course, but his desire for power. He wanted to rule the world. Hitler did. And he came to his own demise, just like so many others did that tried to go against God or tried to go against God's people. Many think that our fates are, I think I got ahead of myself. Did we do 25 and 26?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So, do any of you do astrology? How about the horoscope? Do you read the horoscope in the paper? I used to. And then I found out what it was, so then I quit reading it. But anyway, a lot of people believe that fates are determined by the stars. How many stars do you think there are? Okay, I read in one of these things here, there are 200 billion trillion stars, according to scientists. 200 billion trillion. Can't even imagine. Well, you know, we live in the country. You can walk out on your porch at night and you can see stars. When you live in town, you don't see that. I mean, of course, Jennifer's a little bit farther west than we are, so it doesn't get dark as early, but there's so much light coming up from the city. When you go outside, you don't see hardly any stars at all. So that's another reason we're blessed to be here in the country, is because we can go out and we can see God's handiwork. We can see all those stars up there. I don't know the constellations, and I probably never will, because I don't care. But anyway, they're there, and they're very visible. I remember one time when we were young, and I don't know, you may have been there too, Kenny. We went back up on the hill at Earl Richards's. Joyce was here, I know. Had a campfire. I don't know. I think it was cold weather, but up there on top of the hill with the campfire on a chilly night, the stars were just unbelievable. I mean, it was just an unbelievable view. Those are the kind of things you probably only witness maybe once in a lifetime. Another thing I was thinking about the views, when you all go out west, and I know that Mimi takes a lot of pictures, but she probably has to zoom in on that to get close enough to get the picture. And that's what we do with God. We have to zoom in on Him to find out the real story, to find out the whole story. Our life is one big lens, and we have to keep zooming in. Sometimes it gets a little fuzzy, okay, and then you have to correct. But you just keep zooming to get closer and closer to see all the fine things that He has for us. Okay, I think that's all I got to say about that. All right, now, the God of hope, verse 27, somebody please. Okay, this is saying that there are parts of the Bible that are laments. Can somebody tell me what a lament is?
It's a prayer.
It's a prayer.
And usually a lament, it's mm-hmm. kind of a sad situation or something. And here mm-hmm. are you, or, you know, why are you not mm-hmm. in this? You know,
yeah. Well, the book of Lamentations, Laments, was written by Solomon, probably the wisest person that we studied in the Bible, because that's what he asked God for. God says, okay, whatever you want, I'll do for you. And Solomon says, I want to have the wisdom to guide these people, to rule these people. So that's what God did. He gave him this unfathomable wisdom. But then, even with all that, with all that Solomon knew and all the wisdom that he had, he still harbored a lot of sorrow. Because no matter how good you are or how hard you try to live right, bad things happen to good people. It just does. And it doesn't make any sense to us, but what he's trying to tell us here today, what Isaiah is trying to tell us here today, that we have the hope. We have the hope that God is in control. He sees the end, and that's what he's wanting the people to see today. So these lamentations, when I thought of that, I thought of Eeyore. Everybody knows Eeyore, you know, Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore was always distressed about something. Woe is me. He was always he was just an unhappy sort. And when you're unhappy, it not only affects you, it affects the people around you. So what is it? They wake up and say, put on a happy face. Yeah, it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost a thing, but it reaps benefits. Because when you're happy, generally the people around you are happy. Now, I'm not going to say there's not times that we don't get down or we don't have cause to get down. I keep coming back to this sickness. Sickness is really hard to deal with. And then, but it happens to everybody. So don't think that this is just happening to you. It happens to people, good, bad, indifferent. It's life. The cycle of life is you're born, you die. It's what all, what is it, the tombstone says, you've got the year you're born, the year you died, and the dash in the middle. It all is contained in that dash. Whatever you do with your life is in that dash. And that's what we have to focus on, the dash. All right. Somebody just finished the rest of it, 28 through 31.
As thou mountain weary, there is no searching of his understanding.
Isn't life a whole lot easier when you have a good attitude?
Yeah.
Right? When you have a good attitude. And now he's going back to what he said in the beginning. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, eternal, the Creator, he doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. There is no searching for his understanding. Why would he say there's no searching for his understanding? It's plain. He's made it plain in his word. He created the heavens. He created man. He created everything that's here. And he created all of it for what purpose?
For us.
Well, for us, but for what purpose?
For his glory.
For his glory. That's why he created it all. I told you this last week, I think, that when we studied the book of Revelations with Haman Plogger several years ago, the very first thing Haman said was, when you study Revelations, you are going to determine that God is determined to bring glory through to his name. That's the whole theme throughout the book of Revelation. God is determined to bring glory to his name. Well, God made us to glorify him. And when we look around and we see all that we have and all the possibilities, we can't but give him the glory and give him the praise. He gives power to the faint, and to them who have no strength, or to no might, he increases strength. Okay, so I was thinking here about June's daughter that's the distance runner, or her granddaughter that's the distance runner, Lexi. I'm sure there are times in some of her races where she thinks, oh man, I don't know if I can go this last quarter mile or this last half mile.
She's never satisfied with what
she does. Yeah, she's never satisfied with how well she does. And I couldn't do that. I mean, there's very few of us here that could run like she does. But June says she's never satisfied with how she does. But even when she's running that race and she thinks, I just can't go on, he's telling us here that God gives her the strength to finish. God gives her the strength to go across that finish line. And it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Okay? The young men shall utterly fall. But what happens when we fall?
We get back up.
Because we get back up because who's boosting us?
God.
God is, and he holds out his hand to us. He'll say, come, I'll lead you. Footprints in the sand. I keep going to all these different things. But you're on the beach. Two sets of footprints. All of a sudden, there's just one. You say, what happened? God left me. No. At that point, God was carrying you. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to keep in mind. No matter how far down we think we are, God is going to carry us. He's going to carry us over that finish line. Isn't he?
Here's a sentence from a commentary in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't get that.
Yeah, it's.
I know.
Uh huh.
I need to be reminded.
Yeah, we do. We need to be reminded daily. That's why it's important to read the Word, study the Word. God is worthy of all of our hope, and that's what He's. This is one of our candles for Advent. Is the candle of hope.
Not only aware, but He is very much involved.
Very much involved. That's right. That's right. I keep going back to this church. If God wasn't involved, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I mean,
all
we have
little kids.
Yeah, we have so much to be thankful for. It's just to us old people, it's really kind of mind-boggling how much he's done for us and how thankful that we are that he did. God is our source of hope. He is our source of joy. He is our source of peace. It's all right there. Okay, where are we?
I mean, we've talked about before about peace, and mm-hmm. you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Mm-hmm. You may live your life, mm-hmm. but when it starts going bad, and you don't have,
yeah.
and you think, how am I going to pay this bill? Mm-hmm. How am I going to get through this? So-and-so is sick, mm-hmm. you
God does.
Have God, mm-hmm. God handles.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah, the God of the good times is also the God of the bad times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. What else we got there, Craig? Oh, the golden text. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? And the answer to that is
no one.
There's no one like God. Now, being human and created, we're all born in sin because of Adam and Eve. So we're all born in sin. There are times when we put things out there that we want to make a God out of or strive to be good just because we want to please someone. But God says, I'm it. I'm it. Tag. I'm it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Practical points.
Christians should recall.
Yeah, name one thing.
Saved our soul.
Mm-hmm. Sent his son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Jesus was born, he knew that he was going to die for us. But he still did it. Mm-hmm. Because it was God's will. Okay. You know, it's okay to star watch. It's okay to star watch. And I don't know any of the galaxies or any of that. I can barely, you know, sit in the hot tub and try to figure out what stars, whatever. And I can't do that. But I was out there one night and I saw that this was the whole line. Yeah, like 7, 8, 9 of them. And I thought, well, that is really weird. Well, then I found out it was Starlink satellites. It wasn't stars.
I usually can do the big dipper and the little dipper.
Yeah. Okay.
We thought it was UFOs.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it was Starlinks. Okay. We did that one. Next.
All three.
Yeah, three. God has authority over human rulers. Do they all acknowledge that?
No.
Unfortunately, no. No, they do not.
God alone stands above
him. Right. Yes. Without hope, we have no peace, do we?
Yes.
Yeah. P-E-A-C-E. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I was really kind of hoping Mimi would be here today because I stuck her with a hard one once before. And I thought she'd be here today to bail me out, but she wasn't, so we'll get her.
Darlene, I got a story to tell.
Okay.
About Ronnie Merritt. Passed away.
About who?
Ronnie Merritt.
Oh, yeah?
He was a great softball, fastest softball.
Oh.
We were playing the state champions, Parkersburg, and your brother Eddie was on second base.
Oh, my gosh.
And I get a home run and won the ball game.
When
I got to home, of course, the guys all been drinking up in there.
Yeah.
When I got to home plate, the whole, everybody, came out of the
was there?
And just mom made.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last I've ever seen Ronnie Merritt.
Well,
he was a really good guy.
So that Jim was fast. He was a pitcher, wasn't he?
Jim
okay.
Was a pitcher. He was just great.